Welcome to Myths, Monsters, and Legends. I'm the Myth Maiden. Today, our myth heads are Lynx, the Lady in Red, Kitsune, our resident kit, and joining us later will be Never1408 from Twitch, Never.
As well as Smoke the Dragon is saying he will also be joining us.
Yep, so Smoke the Dragon, ooh, guest star.
Excellent.
So today we are going to talk about three Celtic monsters, the Dullahan, the Banshee, and the Caet Sith, as well as the goddess Ceridwen. And I feel like that one's going to be our last one because she's powerful in her own right.
Sounds good.
She sounds badass.
She really is. So we're going to start with the Dullahan. So the Dullahan is also known as a headless horseman. They're said to carry a whip made from a human spine. I don't know about you guys. That would be really freaky to be beat with somebody else's spine. Just saying. I wouldn't be able to do it.
I don't know. It's on my bucket list.
If it was someone else's spine, like... that would be kind of gross. But if I was using that, no, if I was the one using the spine, oh no, let's have some fun.
Dullahan is said to ride a black horse with fire in its eyes and smoke coming from its nostrils. This horse is metal to the extreme, okay? It is a representation of another monster called a nightmare, and we will get into that later, but... just know that this horse is a nightmare. The Dullahan is thought to be the incarnation of Crumdum. Crumdum is a fertility god who demanded that all of his sacrifices be beheaded in order to worship him. And about the time that Christianity started gaining its following and it came to Ireland, worship for him stopped. And I don't know if you guys remember, but anytime you stop worshiping a god, they get vengeful and maybe a little irritated.
I'm going to get you, motherfuckers. What the fuck you think? Right?
How dare you forget me?
Right. And so that's kind of how it went. He got really frustrated by the loss of his sacrifices that he now roams the roads, crying out the names of those who are doomed to die. He is best known for carrying his head under his arm, and for some reason, when they explain how his head looks, they always make comment about the flesh of his face looking like moldy cheese.
Yeah, delicious. Mm.
See, right? There's a reason why I don't like certain cheeses.
Cottage cheese, soft, soft.
It kind of reminds you of when somebody says head cheese. Yeah, I would never be able to eat anything after this.
No.
The Dullahan is also seen as an omen of the Banshee. In this iteration, the Dullahan drives a black carriage led by four black headless horses. They will ride up to your door, and if you open it, a basin of blood will be thrown in your face.
Ooh.
What did I do to deserve that?
Right? Like, look, I understand. As female, we do some dumb shit, but...
we didn't do nothing to deserve that shit.
Right?
We gotta deal with our own. Like, come on.
Right? The most renowned story that you hear about when people talk about the Dullahan is the Headless Horseman from Sleepy Hollow. And while that is a great myth, it doesn't really do justice for the Dullahan. Like this.
No, and it came like much later too. I think that was from a specific author from like, I want to say late 1800s, early... yeah, it was in the 1800s. I was thinking early 1900s, but I think that's...
I think it was 18.
Yeah, that sounds right. I'm trying to think of who he was. It's... was it like the author of Sleepy Hollow?
Yes. So, yeah, this creature is... I say the Dullahan is, for me, one of the most scariest, but also the most subdued of the monsters that are out there. For Sleepy Hollow, it was such a horror aspect to it. And the creature really isn't all that horrible. I mean, of course, he's headless, so I don't know about you. I wouldn't want somebody's head running around my house.
I
Don't think
mean,
anyone wants that.
some of the Dullahan myths like express that like the carriage that's pulled by the horse and the one that's a carriage driver, there's like the carriage itself is made out of human bones and skin, and you know, like there are definitely some versions that are quite like even more horrifying than the Sleepy Hollow myth.
Yes.
Oh yeah. And in some versions, like the carriage is actually like a coffin, and the wheels of like on it are actually made from spines also, in one telling of it.
Yes. And I think that's what actually drew me to choose the Dolan, because there's so many different aspects that you could pick out of for it. Like there is also parts of the myths where it talks about how the Dullahan is best known for hiding its head when it goes out to collect souls.
True.
Okay, cool.
All doors and locks are immediately opened for it when it passes, and that if you look outside when it's passing, it might potentially I think there's like you are cursed to die very soon.
Yes.
Ooh.
So,
And
yeah.
I Oop, go ahead.
No, you were saying something, Lingsy?
I just kind of thought it was interesting that he's kind of like a fairy in a way, and fairies like in lore are supposedly like iron is like deadly to them, but like he you can toss a precious metal at him, like apparently it's gold is that what works the best, if you can toss apparently if you toss gold at him like it'll actually drive him away.
I can
I
actually
thought that
see
was
that.
interesting.
That is
Paying him.
super
Yeah, I thought it
interesting.
was interesting though, because like if he's supposed to be like a fairy, which is where like I think one of the first origins of him like came from, like I've always heard that iron was something that they didn't like that could like repel them or weaken them. But then this is my first time hearing like a precious metal like gold could actually like ward him away. I just thought that was really interesting.
Maybe it's sort of in the context of, you know, if you're willing to sacrifice something of value, then he's willing to go ahead and, you know, give you a little bit more time.
I know. That would make sense. It specifies precious metal, though. I'm just like, huh, I wonder where that little nugget actually came from.
Yeah.
Nugget. You know what I meant?
So, in modern day media, the Dullahan is seen in anime such as Durarara. There's movies, there's TV shows. A lot of the movies and the TV shows, when they depict the Dullahan, they depict it more so as the Headless Horseman from Sleepy Hollow. I have to say, for me, S Selty is my favorite. Okay.
Yeah, Selby Harrelson is pretty badass. I mean, first of all, she's turned her horse into a motorcycle, and that's pretty cool. Like, it's not just that she's riding a motorcycle, but that literally is like it contains the spirit of the horse that she once rode.
Yeah, and the fact that she is searching for her head, it means something, because for them to lose their head means that they end up dying themselves.
Yeah, although in her case, she just lost her memories along with it.
Yeah.
And then there's a whole thing about like the head taking over another person and trying to live its own life.
Yes. So,
Wow.
in some of the myths for the Dullahan, if the head attaches to another body, it can live its own life.
Wow.
That brings us to our next monster, the Banshee. Now,
Yeah.
Banshee scream. Insert Banshee scream here.
The Banshee is the most iconic of Celtic fairies, and here's why. because a lot of the fairies that you hear about when it comes to Celtic horror stories, they always have a banshee. But there's so much myth around the banshee and so much truth as well. Because they're not just, you know, fairies who just come out and scream every now and then. They actually had a job, and it was an honor for a banshee to scream announcing your impending death. Yeah.
No, I'm just thinking of a modern day person turned into a banshee. You're gonna die, motherfucker!
Yep.
That would pretty much be it. So banshees were women of the... Banshee means women of the fairy mound. Or fairy woman. She's known to have long, streaming white hair, and she wears a gray cloak over a green dress. Her eyes are red from her continual weeping, and she's weeping because she sees when anyone dies. Banshees are able to take the form of a sweet singing maiden of a family who died young. She's given the power to become the harbinger of the coming doom of her mortal kindred. So those guys that usually it was nobility. You had to be noble in order for a banshee to scream for you.
And it was also said that some families had their own banshee, which I thought was cool.
Yes. This was like if a sister died before she turned into a woman, then she would be, the banshee would be believed to be her. And it's really honoring that person.
Yeah. I think I also read that if like a maiden, like if she died like in childbirth, like basically any sort of tragedy, then she would stay behind and like warn like future family like of their impending death.
Yes.
But they were never actually violent. They were always like just an omen.
Yes, they were always omens. They were harbingers. They told you when somebody of importance was dying, somebody in the family was dying. Mm-hmm. In modern media today, you see it in X-Men. Banshee's just this person who can scream really loud. But their scream wasn't their telltale marking. Yeah, their scream was how they told people somebody was going to die, but it was really how they looked and the demeanor that they had, because they always seemed to be crying. A banshee's cry is beyond all earthly sounds. So to hear it means that you've just heard someone you are close to is dying, or you've heard that they've taken their last breath. They liken it to like the death rattle. So when somebody dies, you hear how their chest rattles when they take their last breath. That is what is said to be the banshee's scream. So a banshee's wail is known only to be supposed to be for noble stock and is believed to be an honored fey privilege. So the fey would deem these women... they would give them this job and they would have to scream for these noble families. The only times that there would be more than one banshee screaming was if it was someone great or holy had passed or would be passing. So like if the king of Ireland, when they had a king, when he passed away, it was said that a group of banshees screamed. Now, here's where the reality and the myth kind of collide with each other. There are women who are known to wail at the passing of the carriage that takes the dead to their final resting place. They wail for days for this person. They cry and they scream. And that is their only job in the village.
Mm, I know the answer. Were they called keeners?
Yes.
Yeah.
So it was believed that you were of fairy descent if you were chosen to be a keener.
Oh, that's cool.
Yeah, I thought that was really interesting.
Yeah, and they were really like the same people would be hired like too. And
Yes.
like they would be hired because like the more people you had to like mourn you and like wail for you, like the more important, like it was more symbolic too, like that your importance level
Yes.
was connected to how many people were there and how distraught they were.
How heartbreakingly upset they
Crushed.
were.
If y'all don't do that for me when I go, I'm haunting y'all. I'm just saying.
Linksy, we have already determined we are going to party like we have never partied before. There will be burlesque
That's right.
dancers, there will be
That's right.
music, there will not be a dry eye there, but we're going to party like you still with us.
Okay. Okay. I request assholes. Assholes for the ass. Just saying.
All right.
Making that mandatory.
The Banshee's wail is said to be so piercing that it shatters glass and crystal. It is said that it shattered the diamond ring on the queen's hand when the king
Ooh.
passed.
Take that, opera.
And when you think about it, for them to be fae, I could see it being something like that, like their voices carry and resonate in such a way. Banshees can be seen at the sides of rivers, washing the blood-stained armor or clothes of those who were about to die. Now, that's very important, especially during war, because if you saw a woman washing armor in a lake or a stream, then you knew that that person either just died or they were getting ready to die. And they were sent off with their clothing as nice as they could get it on a battlefield. Banshees are one of the most iconic creatures because of how much they have reflected through time. Like, even now, when you go to present day funerals, there's always women there who are wailing. And it's not always like the close family members. Sometimes it is just people who feel the sadness and feel moved for this person. And they would have been the keening women back then. Banshees are beautiful young maidens who have the job of seeing the people that they care about, even sometimes people they didn't know, die before it was their time. So they would tend to let it out in the best way that they knew with an ear-piercing scream. There is a myth that talks specifically about the banshee screaming as a young lad is walking down the road and he knows it's for his father, and he hears it's the last thing he ever hears because when she screams, he's so close to her that it shatters his eardrums and he makes it home with blood just running down his face. And he has no clue that he can't hear anything, he just thinks that nobody's paying attention to him. And when he gets home and he's trying to tell his mother what's going on, he can't hear his own voice. Banshees are amazing creatures, and I like how some of the modern references to them do justice for them, but some of them don't really, do what they're supposed to. Hey, Jester's here.
Yeah. An interesting one was, I don't know if y'all remember that 90s animated Disney show Gargoyles, but in one of the later seasons, yeah, they I know, like I know not just me has seen
No, yeah, no. It's more of a thing of when
it.
that came on Disney Plus, I flipped.
I did too. I rewatched the whole damn thing.
Glad to know I'm not the only one.
No, I binge watched that shit.
Let's see.
Yeah, I thought the episode with her in it, I thought it was interesting because it kind of made her like kind of like an outcast of the fairy realm because she didn't want to follow orders. She just wanted to do her own damn thing. I thought that was interesting. She was way more malicious though than what like the actual like legend seemed to portray.
Yeah.
Yes. Jester, whenever you are ready, you can join the chat.
Oh, yay.
Join the live recording.
I had to show him how to.
Okay. Now we're going to move over to the Caite Sith. Now, the Caite Sith is said to be a fairy creature. Okay. It is a cat, a black cat, who has a white kind of like spot on its chest. In some of the myths, it has a white spot on its chest. In some of them, its paws are white, which kind of seems cool. I wouldn't mind having white paws. Right. It's an all black cat, though.
Also,
it works.
Hey.
Teasing. It works. Woo.
It is what? Also said that the Caite Sith
also this is, cord that you've done.
Is a witch that who has the ability to change 9 times into a cat. The final time...
Give me a second, Alex. Don't pull on it. Sorry, Rosie.
The final time is said to be permanent, so they can't change back from a cat after that.
And that's where the term "the cat has 9 lives" comes from.
Yes,
is that also where it turned? Where the like the whole history or thought that cats, black cats, go or witches?
Yes,
may have come from.
Not quite.
It might be part linked, of though. It. It's linked because the Caite Sith is seen to be a witch that can change into a black cat. It used to not just be black cats. It was black cats with white spots on their chest or who had white mittens. So if it looked like their paws were mittens, they were thought to be witches.
Note to self, get a black cat with white paws. Okay.
Right.
Well, a lot of where the legend comes from is with the witches and all that stuff is that cats were seen as a creature of the devil. And so they would be following around witches. So if a woman had a lot of cats with her, she was seen to be a witch.
Hmm.
Awesome. That's carried over from a lot of different things.
Yeah.
Because wasn't it the Egyptians who basically worshipped cats as guardians of the underworld?
Mouse, yes. Yep.
Yes.
Not guardians of the underworld, guardians of the household.
Oh, okay, cool.
Wasn't it keeping the house safe from spirits or whatever?
Yeah, but they guarded the household, not the underworld.
Oh, okay. Cool.
Yeah. No, but primarily you have things like in the Tibetan Buddhist, all that stuff and whatnot. Cats did not show up when Buddha died, so they were seen as rude or evil. And when Christianity kind of spread, it absorbed a lot of ideas from other cultures, and one of the ones that they absorbed was cats are evil.
But they aren't.
I'm aware of this. This is Christianity.
So the Christians are wrong.
So the Irish believe that the Caite Sith was a soul stealer, and they were weary of this creature. So weary that they believe that they would leave guards to guard the dead bodies after they passed, because in their ritual, the body was laid out to adjust to being dead so that the soul didn't go searching for its body. So they would leave guards to surround the body, and the family was moved out of the home during the winter times because the Caite Sith is said to be drawn by heat. Like all cats are. If you're warm, they lay on you. And
yeah,
so and
if you
so,
are warm, they'll lay on you.
And so the guards would, the way that they were told to battle these creatures were to distract them with riddles and games and catnip and music. And I don't know about y'all, but if I play riddles and games and catnip and music with my two cats, they will never leave.
Sounds about right.
Yeah. So it was seen that if these creatures came, they would steal the soul of this dead person and use it for their nefarious deeds.
That one's questionable because of the fact that a lot of fairies would use the souls and whatnot of people to grow in strength. So that was the bigger concern, because then it's harder to distract and stuff like that.
I feel like you guys know the Tenchi Muyo series.
Yes.
Ryo Oki would have been a cat sis.
yeah.
But yeah, so a lot of people didn't know that these creatures were crazy, crazy strong. The Cat Sith is known as the King of Cats. And there can only be one king at a time. So, of course, a lot of the myths talk about how when a Cat Sith died, they would hold a special election, or he would send a message to the next Cat Sith, which seems kind of weird.
Not quite, if you think about it, because of the fact that it's the same way that royalty passed progression.
True.
But, no, you also have to, just side fact, Cheshire Cat from Alice in Wonderland is literally based off of Cat. Kate Sith.
Yep.
It's the kind of the powers that Kate Sith had, and though they made him more goofy in the Disney version, mm-hmm. the true Cheshire Cat is terrifying.
He really is.
Yeah, I can see that.
We're going to take a pause for our commercial break. And we're back from our commercial break. So, the Cat Sith, while being the King of Cats, he wasn't always all that bad. There are definitely myths about how horrible this creature was. But there are also myths about, like, during Samhain, the Cat Sith is known to bless any home that left out a saucer of milk for him. Which I think that's kind of sweet. However, on the flip side of that, he would curse any home that didn't leave out milk so that their cow's udders would go dry, okay? He was like, I can't have milk. He was like, I can't have milk. You can't have milk. That's how this shit works.
He's like, y'all have one job.
One job. Y'all fucked it up.
Wasn't asking for much. I just wanted some milk, people.
Yeah, no, he, just like all fairies, it was more of just a trickster than
malicious.
Malicious, that's the word. I can think, I swear. But
I can swear, I think.
I would hope so. But no, it's just like, it's similar to brownies, where it's like you'd have brownies in your house, you'd leave them out, milk and bread, and they would do chores around the house to make the work easier for you.
Or they would just not steal your socks.
So that was a different creature.
It was.
But you also have things called fairy locks. If you leave a sock underneath your bed, you wouldn't have tangles in your hair.
Huh.
They were referred to as fairy locks. It was just a thing, a tradition that people had. But for the brownies and whatnot, like,
I wish that was true.
Yeah, if you didn't leave the milk and bread out, most of the time, it'd just be a situation of they don't do the chores. Occasionally, especially if you have angered the brownie in some way, they would specifically do stuff to make your household worse.
Yeah.
It's just this situation of, like, you had to really piss off this creature. Kate Sith was not any different. If you did something that would have angered him, then you got cursed. And you would give the milk out at a tribute?
Yeah.
Yeah. So there was a lot of situations like that as well.
Also, the Kate Sith is seen as a demon who can be summoned by burning the bodies of cats for 4 days and nights.
What the fuck?
That Thanks, Christianity.
Do not freak out. Do not freak out.
So,
well, as a
hurting animals.
As a consolidation, more often than not, if you tried a ritual like that, Kate Sith would show up. But remember, he is the king of cats, and you just spent 4 days burning the bodies of his subjects. Most of which, for the act of it, because of how many cats you have to go through for that, you had to kill yourself. Because I doubt there are that many dead cat bodies lying around. So yeah, you killed his subjects, and he now has, like, you now have his undivided attention.
That's how you know you fucked up.
Yeah. I think I messed up, guys. Why? This really creepy giant cat keeps following me. I think it's trying to kill me.
If Kate Sith is trying to kill you, you will not see him coming.
I don't know. I'm sure if you pissed him off well enough, he would actually do it in a very evil way.
No, Kate Sith's entire thing is you do not see him.
Yeah.
Unless he wants you to, and he rarely wants you to. And if he is hunting you, just like a cat with a mouse, most of the time, they don't see it coming. If they're playful and they're playing around, yeah. You won't see, you won't hear, you will just be gone.
Yeah. So Kate Sith is known as a creature who can walk in shadows. So you might see him, but really you won't. And like any good demon, the Kate Sith will grant you a wish, but you gotta think, is it really worth it? Would you really want to piss off the king of cats? I don't know about y'all. I have a giant black and white cat. I wouldn't want to piss him off at all. Any day.
Oh, taking into account your giant black and white cat size, Kate Sith is about 6 times as big as him.
Yeah. So he would, everybody who participated in the ritual, they would get their little wish granted. I'm not saying I would be a part of that because I don't need them problems. I'm too young to die.
Amen.
Not necessarily die, just bad things happen.
Very, very bad thing.
Usually mortally bad. Not always.
Usually. The usual is the part. Now, you do see Kate Sith in popular culture because you see the Kate Sith in what is now known, but in Final Fantasy games, there is the character, the Kate Sith. And it is supposed to be a representation of the creature from the myth. And I think there is one. It's kind of cutesy.
There is one. I have seen it.
But it's nothing to write like home about. But it is kind of cute.
In Final Fantasy VII, they have Kate Sith.
Yeah.
And that has nothing to do with the original Kate Sith.
No, it doesn't.
In a lot of JRPGs, you have a Kate Sith creature appear. Mm-hmm. But
they're like, always as so a monster. They're always so cutesy and so nice.
Yeah, nowadays most of them just ride things.
Yeah.
Like the game I was just playing, Bravely Default 2, what they were riding was a ball.
Yeah, that's the one that they're most known for riding. Even in, what is the name of that game? The Summoner's War. They have a Kate Sith-like creature, and it rides a ball. I think it is called a Kate Sith, by the way. But yeah, so no, a lot of games try to represent it, and they don't. I've only known of one horror game, and I can't even remember the name of it, where they actually used the Kate Sith as a horror element. So you had to go and perform this ritual, which was not graphic, like killing a whole bunch of cats and burning their bodies. But you had to perform this ritual, and this creature would pop out, and it looked like a giant black cat, and it would just lay there in this circle, and then you had to ask it questions. Yeah, I didn't make it that far in the game because I learned my lesson early.
Yeah. Also, don't summon Kate Sith.
Please don't.
Don't.
No.
It just ends badly.
So now we're going to move over to Serdwyn. Now, I know out of a lot of the Celtic goddesses, Ceiridwen, and there are a lot of Celtic goddesses, okay? Ceiridwen is the one that spans over a whole area, and she is seen as both a goddess and an enchantress. She is the mother to the hideous Morfrin. She is the mother to the beautiful daughter, Crawyn. She is the wife of Tigfail. That's an interesting name. If I ever have another child.
Say that one more time.
Tigfail. So, Ceiridwen was known to give her hideously ugly son a potion from her magical cauldron to make him wise, to compensate for how ugly he was. This didn't go the way that she had planned it. So she set Morda, a blind man, to tend the fire, and Gwaine Bach to stir the concoction. The first three drops from this concoction is said to have been the part of it that would make you wise. It would grant you wisdom and knowledge so that you were the smartest person out there. The rest of it would turn into a poison that would immediately kill somebody. So it was quite fatal. And while stirring this potion, three drops landed on Gwaine's thumb. I mean, like any kid, you're 8, 9, you're stirring something, and it falls on your hand. What do? You shove it in your mouth. I have no clue why little kids do that, but they do. So he puts it in his mouth, he sucks on it, and his brain went from wrinkled to smooth, meaning he was thinking really hard, and he realized that he did an uh-oh. In doing
he
so,
did an uh-oh.
Yeah, he did an uh-oh. he realized that Ceiridwen was going to be pissed with him because as soon as he put his thumb in his mouth and started sucking on it, he received the wisdom and knowledge that Ceiridwen intended for her son, Morfrin. Knowing she was going to be angry, he left.
Excuse me, guys. I need GTFO.
Yes. He was like, this is a GTF moment. I'm a GTFO. I don't want these problems. Ceiridwen, realizing what happened, chased him. And I mean, it's not like she was just like in her high heels tittering like Aphrodite would. She was like giving hardcore chase.
No, she was after him like Artemis would be.
Yes.
Aphrodite does not like tittering high heels. Just throwing that one out there.
But it's a fun mental image, though.
It is. Leave my mental image alone.
All right, just making sure. Stated.
So he's running from her, and he's thinking, what can I do so that she doesn't catch me? And his
good
first
thing he has that infinite wisdom.
Right? The first thing he thinks of is, I need to change into something she can't catch. Boy, you're running from a goddess. What can she not catch?
There are still things.
He turns himself into a hare, a rabbit, and he's running along like that. What does she do? She changes into a greyhound. Obviously, she's just as smart, if not smarter, than you. So she's
she knows how to make this potion, so what's to say she hasn't done it before?
Right. Seeing that this was a bad idea, he changes into a fish and jumps into a river. She changes into an otter. My guy, the whole changing into stuff thing isn't working out for you. Get out of there.
I mean, he's still ahead of her.
Just barely.
For how long?
So then he jumps out of the water and he changes into a bird. And she jumps out of the water and changes into a hawk. could you change into something that's harmless? Like change into a spider or something, a bird eater, something to save yourself. But he doesn't.
You don't want to turn into something harmless because they're most likely, like, dead.
So finally, he decides he's going to turn into a single grain of corn. And Serdwyn turns into a hen, and being a goddess, she was able to find him without any trouble and gobble him up. That sounds so, so perverse.
Giggity.
But she turns into this hen. She eats the now Gwen type corn. That's a weird name for corn, but okay, we'll go with it. And she goes on about her day. But because of the potion, he didn't die. So he's still alive. He's just a little grain of corn hanging out in her belly. And she becomes pregnant. And she knows that this small child that she's carrying is Gwen. And so she's like, to avenge her son, she's going to kill him. Well, she gives birth to the baby. But guess what she can't do? You'll never guess.
Kill the kid.
He's just so beautiful.
Yep, she can't kill this kid because he's so beautiful. Like, she's in tears because she knows she needs to, but she can't. So she threw him in the ocean instead, sewing him inside a leather skin.
Damn.
He was saved by a prince named Elfin Ap. Gwendanoop? Wow, why are Irish names... Why are Welsh names so hard, okay? Because everybody else's name was super easy. It's... I will put it in chat so that you guys can see the struggle that I'm going with.
D-D-N-O, like, window, but Gwendo.
Like, the name is so... It's weird.
Yeah, and I'm sure if someone who knows how to pronounce it like says it, I'd be like, oh, okay. I'm just like, I got nothing.
I struggle with the Welsh, but it'd be something similar to like, Gwydno.
We'll go with Gwydno.
There we go.
So, Elfin Ap Gwydno saves him on a Welsh shore, because he washes up on a Welsh shore. And this reborn infant grows up to become the legendary bard Taliesin. And he's renowned throughout all of Welshland because he is so eloquent and well-spoken, and his stories are always so beautiful, and there's always adventure. And I kind of feel like because he had that little magic potion that he sucked off his thumb, that's how come his stories were so good.
That and too, wasn't Serdwyn like a goddess of like literature and poetry and inspiration?
Yes.
Okay. So maybe she, like she, like, you know, carrying him in her body, maybe she passed some of that along too.
Yeah. Like, so I really do think that she created this potion the first time for herself, which is how she knew a lot of the things that he was doing. And then the second time she was like, okay, I gotta make up for being a really crappy mom and giving birth to this butt ugly son, which makes me wonder how ugly was this guy.
I know, like, I tried to imagine, and I just don't think I can do it justice.
I can't either. I mean,
divinely ugly?
Look, Hephaestus was divinely ugly.
Was divinely ugly, but his mother loved him no matter what.
She had to give him a reason to love. She had to have a reason to love her son. That's pretty ugly.
I know. The phrase, like, a face only a mother could love comes to mind, but ironically,
was like, look, you too ugly. I can't look at you. I'll make you smart instead.
That's so sad.
It is. It's super sad, and I feel bad for him, but at the same time, it is still hilariously funny. Because Ceridwen, while she was a goddess who was just amazing, there's a myth about how she became a goddess, and she starts out as an enchantress, and she is, through her workings and how much good she's doing for the people, she is elevated to the status of goddess. It seemed a little weird when I read it, but I do bring it up because I know that bringing you guys myths means that I've got to share all the parts of the myths that you guys might like. I don't know how I would feel if I started off as a normal person who could just do a little bit of magic, and then all of a sudden, hey, now you've got a whole bunch of people who want to follow you around and worship you. I don't like talking to people outside of my friend group.
I would just probably be really awkward.
See, that's the whole thing in itself of, like, poke your head out the door. We all want to follow you! Nope.
I'm going back in the house. I'll stay in here. I'm good.
Divine rituals actually historically have a really weird, I guess you could say, mechanism for how they work and whatnot, because Hercules went through the same thing, where it was just a, like, for the longest time, he was a mortal person until he became the god of strength. And it was literally just, like, it wasn't him having to portray this thing. It was just a thing of, like, you know, hey, this is something to do with this subject. Hercules has probably done it, or Hercules is on this level. And it was probably something similar to that, where it's just, she's this very, very intelligent woman, yeah, which, you know, back then was astounding in and of itself to a degree. The Celts were very, very progressive, I guess would be the word, as yes, far as, like, women and men and equality and all that stuff. But even so, like, if you sat there and you read so many books and you had some this level of knowledge, you were considered, you know, a scholar, somebody of high intelligence, high repute, a wise person. Whereas if you sat there and, you know, read 20 times that amount,
it was
now you're getting
divine,
to the point where you're divine.
Yeah, I like a lot of the Celtic mythology, and it is that and Norse are my favorites. I know a lot of Greek, but Celtic mythology was always about the people. It wasn't so much about the deities. So when it comes to Celtic mythology, there is so much that you can learn from them about them. Like, even when you go into simple myths about the fae that they have, there's so much in them and so much detail. And a lot of Celtic myths have been lost to time because they weren't written down. And it's hard to find people who remember the myths. Because, you know, younger kids, the younger generations, they don't care anymore like they used to.
Yeah.
Do not chase the lights.
Never chase the lights. Do not follow the light. Carol Ann, stay the hell out the light. Movie reference, by the way.
So, whenever someone starts talking about Irish and Celtic and Norse and stuff, for some reason it always makes me think of wisps.
Yes, will-o'-the-wisps. Yeah.
Because they're a Celtic fairy.
Yep.
They're adorable!
No, they aren't.
They're very deadly.
Just because they're deadly does not mean they're not adorable.
We will get back to Celtic. We're going to go through the myths. We are. We're going to get to some will-o'-the-wisps, and we'll probably do a whole episode on will-o'-the-wisps, because they are so...
Will-o'-the-wisps are fireflies with a 90% chance of death.
Yes.
That cool. is what they are. I'm not sure how pretty that actually is.
They're pretty to look at, as long as you don't look at them.
That's all I'm saying. Like, I grew up with fireflies. They're pretty.
No.
Well, thank you guys for joining us for Myths, Monsters, and Legends. And of course, we myth heads welcome you to join us again next week, because we will be talking about Japanese mythology. We're doing Japanese mythology next week, and the week after, we're going to do some Egyptian. So, Thank you for hanging out with us and listening to our crazy selves as we discuss these myths and make correlations to modern day things. Although we're never very good at that, we get caught up in the myth.
Oh, we were supposed to be doing that? I can definitely do that a lot. I spent a lot of time studying that specifically.
See, this is why we need you on the stream more, Smoke Dragon.
I'm trying.
We'll get you there.
Right, me with, what do you mean with my off facts? I gotta study. What about a school?
Well, thank you guys for joining us, and we hope to see you next time. And as always, have a great mythical week.
Bye.
Toodles.
As Smoke Dragon just silently walks away. He's kind of like a real dragon, though.